Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Happy Friday evening to you. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
And I know it sounds like I'm going through puberty here. having a few throat issues. But we're going to make it through here. This is Shasta Outdoors, brought to you tonight by Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guests, news, and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. And Diane, what exactly is It Does My Soul Well?
Well, Tim, It Does My Soul Well endeavors to accomplish three things. Number one, we challenge you to get outdoors.
Yes, that's what this program is all about.
Absolutely. Number two, we inspire you to get healthy.
Still working on that with you, Diane. Let's get there.
I'm going for it. I am. Number three, we encourage you in your spiritual life.
Yeah, and I appreciate that from you. So, Shasta Outdoors Radio is our way to challenge you to get outdoors and enjoy things like hiking, kayaking, fishing, hunting, camping, biking, you name it. There's a wide variety of choices, especially here in Northern California. Tonight, in the studio, we have with us Abigail Heyman.
That's right. We're going to have some, horse talk?
Yes.
Abigail is an equestrian who spends time teaching others to ride horses, goes on trail rides, and is involved with some local competitions from time to time.
I'm excited to talk with her, as I'm sure you are, Diane.
I am. Abby Gabby.
Yes. So we were told.
Yes.
We don't want to sound like we're being disrespectful whatsoever.
True.
We didn't just come up with that.
No, we didn't.
Our guest was, gluing us in on the possible nickname there.
That's right. That's
and so,
right.
Diane, have you done anything outdoors in the last week?
Well, as you know, I wasn't here last week, so I was off in Trinidad.
Oh, okay. What were you doing there?
Well, we enjoyed the beach, and we did some body surfing, and at least I didn't do the body surfing, but I did try the, what's the one that you stand, paddleboard.
Oh.
I did paddleboarding.
So you were paddleboarding, and all of a sudden you were doing body surfing.
No.
How it went? Because I'm going to paddleboard. Oh, I guess I'm going to body surf. That's what I'm doing now.
But no. I actually stood on the paddleboard, and because there's a little branch off from the ocean that kind of acted as if a really small moving river, kind of intended to be. So, anyways, it was perfect for paddleboard.
Like a lagoon.
Yeah.
What Gilligan's Island.
That's right.
They had the lagoon, right?
That's right.
Yes.
So, and I did a little bit of rock climbing. In fact, if my daughter and son-in-law are listening, Haley and Garrett, you know, they're probably laughing right now because to other people it was just taking a little jaunt up the road, you know.
Right.
But for me, that was rock climbing.
Ah, nice. So you had to use your hands.
Yes, I did. I had to get on my knees, hands and knees.
Knees.
And I had to grab a hold of little pockets to pull myself up to the top. So
you're
really
kind
proud
of afraid of heights.
I am. I have a fear of heights. Yes, I do.
And so how tall was it? 10, 12 feet?
No, it was taller than that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, if you put three of 6 foot, what are you, 6 foot four?
Mm-hmm.
Put about three or four of you on top of one another, and that's about how tall it was.
So
it was pretty tall.
20 feet.
Yeah.
25, 30 feet. That's pretty good.
That was good.
If you fell, would you have fallen into the sand, or what would have happened?
Probably the sand, but there was a little community of rocks on the floor too, so it could have been bad.
Yeah.
But it was pretty flat on top though, so it wasn't like I was trying to really balance myself on top. I mean, I'm not going to go all out and brag or anything, but for me, it was a personal goal.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Challenge, and I met that challenge, and that's really what counts.
Yes, absolutely. So, I'm proud of you. I really am. And so what else did you do over there? You did some beach combing then?
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I love picking up rocks and shells and whatnot and stuff, but just walking in the in the sand,
mm-hmm.
you know, my calves were killing me after walking in the sand for for a good couple hours.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. That
wears you out.
Walking in the sand can be quite a workout.
It is.
As opposed to going on a nice, flat, hard trail.
Yeah, yeah. But we played some great outdoor games. You know, I think one was used to be a drinking game, but you have to put a bottle on top of a pole, you know, and you try to knock it off with a frisbee. And the goal is the team doesn't want the bottle or the pole, I mean, the bottle or the frisbee to hit the ground. So you have to try to catch it before it hits the ground. If you do, the other team doesn't get a point. So that was a lot of fun. I found myself in the face down in the sand most of the time, but, you know, but I caught that thing, both of them.
Man,
I was good.
Well, last weekend for Fanny and I, it was all about a yard sale. And
Wasn't it hot?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Last weekend it was only about 92, 93 degrees. So for, you know, midsummer, a day in July, that's actually a very, very nice day.
It is.
And the good part is that we got rid of lots of things. And so we were excited about that.
Right on.
And then we also, this last week, Diane, I really have not felt that well. Today I feel pretty well, but my throat isn't necessarily doing all that well. You know?
I know. You could still probably really, you know, play it out and make sure, you know, Fanny takes care of you and stuff.
Right.
You'd probably
fake
it till as long as it lasts. You know, get her just weighed on your hand and foot.
Sure.
You know?
But I did make a little bit of a hike. I think it was on Monday, the Kanaka Peak Trail, which is in the Whiskeytown Lake area. It's actually below Whiskeytown Dam. And so I took off on that hike. I went about 2.25 miles, and I ran into the trail crew that was working on the trail. They had this really small excavator up there. And so I could only go a little over 2 miles, and I didn't want to disrupt what they were doing. And so I turned around and came back. But I want to go back to that trail.
Were they working on the trails?
Yeah, working on the trail, cleaning
the trail. That's nice to know that.
And so everything they were doing up to that point looked great. The trail was just beautiful.
Don't you feel like whenever you get out there, like, you know, and hiking and everything, it kind of clears up your lungs too? Do you feel like?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you don't always feel like doing it. But once you get out there and start walking and stuff, you just feel like all the yucky stuff just comes out.
Yeah, that's why it does my soul well.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, on the board tonight, we have Tyler Chapman. Tyler, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I can't complain.
Well, you could complain, but you're choosing not to, and for
that,
I applaud you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm being polite. There's plenty to complain about. How about 109 degrees out there?
Oh, my goodness.
I knew it was hot today.
Yeah, it's nice and cool in the studio right now, so that is good. Tyler, have you been getting out there doing anything?
Yeah, last week you guys talked to the guy who went up to Whiskeytown Falls, so I took a trip up there.
Nice.
With my firefighter brother. It was a nice little hike, but he made me walk really fast, so.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been out there with people that hike a little faster than I do or at a pace.
That's surprising. As long as your legs are so long, I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often. But, you know, I didn't really have my hiking legs going really well at the beginning of the year. And so in February, I was doing the Hornbeck Trail Loop. And I was going down the trail. And this man, he must have been about 85 years old. And he just trotted right on by me. I mean, he was walking.
That's
and
right.
And I was thinking, man, I'm pushing it here. Of course, since then, I've lost 80 pounds, you know.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And, of course, on that same hike, I took a loop. I took a turn and went around. Well, here came that guy again. I don't know where he went, but he wound up behind me again.
I love
and
it.
Went trotting right around me.
Yeah, I hope he calls in tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
We should. That would be awesome.
And if people want to, they can call in.
I love that.
If they've got a question for our guest, Abigail, how can they call?
What's the number? Okay. Well, if you'd like to call in and ask some questions, we've got 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567.
Right on. And if people would like to know more about Shasta Outdoors, they can go to It Does My Soul Well. And there you'll find videos, recordings of this program, a blog that I write, and more. But hey, it is time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Abigail. We're going to talk about horses and all of that fun stuff. And listener, you are listening to Shasta Outdoors.
See the four-wheel beauty you're leaning on. Well, that's fine. celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Summertime travel can take a toll on your vehicle, including dents and dings. From door dents to possible dings at the park, from softballs or baseballs or even golf balls. That's why Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive invites you to make an appointment today for a free estimate at 530-226-0992. And they accept most major insurance companies. For summertime dents and dings, contact Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Not to mention the trees, whistling tunes that you know and love so.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Jim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
I'm Jim Scarborough. Going through puberty here. Voice is changing. So excited about that. Hey, let's thank one of our sponsors, Diane.
Absolutely. Shasta Outdoors would like to thank our wonderful sponsor, Professional Exterminators. Professional Exterminators has been around for 15 years, and they are definitely aptly named Professional Exterminators because they are truly the professionals who will take care of anything from ants to skunks and everything in between. Professional Exterminators is locally owned and operated by Dave and Madonna Silva, amazing people who are an integral part of this community. And so no matter what your need, you can call them and they will give you a zero obligation free estimate. So if it's bugging you, give them a call at 530-338-2822. That's 530-228-2822. Professional Exterminators. I love it.
Thank you to our sponsor. We appreciate them so much. Matter of fact, I had to call them, I think it was last week or no, earlier this week. And Dave was, just did a great job in helping me out with the situation that I won't go into at this point, but, really.
I have to
awesome.
Call them too. You know yeah. how they were talking about those little roaches really right. coming out.
Right.
I'm having problems.
So, hey, Diane, one of the things I got to enjoy early in life was horseback riding, and that was primarily because of you and our sister Cindy.
Absolutely.
You both loved horses.
We did.
Throughout your early years, your teenage years, you were very involved in riding.
Yes.
And tonight.
We did Jim Cannon and all kinds of things.
Yeah. Tonight we have a woman who is definitely into horses.
I love it.
And owns Heyman's Riding School. Am I saying that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And we are so pleased to have her on the program tonight. Abigail Heyman, welcome to Shasta Outdoors.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm really happy to be here today.
All right.
Great.
So, Abigail, we just want to get to know you a little bit better. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I've loved doing things outdoors my entire life. I grew up down in the North Bay area, and I've always been interested in going fishing, hunting, hiking, anything I could do to just spend a little more time outside and enjoying that sunshine.
Nice, nice.
Awesome.
So this whole aspect of your life with horses, how did you really get into that specifically?
I think I had always been, even though I had no reach through my family and through my sphere growing up to be around horses, I think lots of little girls grow up enamored with these great magical beasts. And I think a lot of young boys grow up and they love trucks and mechanics.
That's right.
And so that fire in me for love and horses just never faded away. And I always pursued chasing that dream.
Nice.
Oh, that's
nice.
Awesome.
And you know what you said is very true. I saw that with my sisters. You know, they loved horses. They had, you know, for Christmas presents, you got those horses. What was the name brand on those plastic horses that you guys would get? You know what I'm talking about?
Just the model horses that I would go buy. Oh, yeah, I'd save up my money every week we would get like $1.50 or something for allowance. Yeah. And boy, I would save that money up just so I could go down and get another one. You know, and I'd get a horse every time.
And I remember, Diane, when you were about 2 years old for Christmas, you got one of those rocking horses. You know,
the one on the springs.
Yeah. And so it was left out by Santa, quote unquote. And, you came out, you got on that horse, and Mom had to open the rest of your presents because you would not get off that horse. I remember that specifically.
I believe it. So, I love that thing.
Getting back to Abigail.
Sorry.
Abigail, tell us about the progression from just riding horses to now teaching others to ride.
So the progression for me, well, when I got started riding, I started off in a camp. So I went, and it was a week-long camp. You would come in every morning at 8 a.m. You'd come in, you'd groom horses, you'd learn about their health, you'd learn about different disciplines, you'd learn about lamenesses that the horses could develop, and you would also get out and you'd learn how to saddle. You'd learn all your tack. You'd learn all the different parts of your tack, your bits, your bridles.
Right.
And you'd go out and you'd learn the basics and fundamentals of riding. And towards the end of the course, you'd go out and everyone would get in the arena and you would all have a small course to complete. And at the end, you know, you'd have first, second, third place ribbons.
Nice.
And from there, that was my start. I always knew that I would like to do that at some point in time myself and teach others and share that joy with them.
Right. Nice. Wow. So, boy, they went into a lot of detail then. It wasn't just jumping up on a horse and learning how to ride one, but really
that's a lot of work.
And really how to take care of a horse and all of the things to look for.
Yeah.
As well as, like you said, the tack, the bridles, all of those things.
Is that how you teach your students as far as what they need to do? I mean, do you go through all those details?
Yep. So I have a monthly membership when I do my program. And so students are coming in and they're horseback riding either Tuesdays or Thursdays. And then Saturday is a horsemanship class. So on that Saturday horsemanship class, everyone from all the different groups can come together and we can all go over everything. So you can go over nutrition. You can go over some basic lamenesses that come up frequently in horses, such as abscesses, colic symptoms. In the summertime, a lot of horses can develop, you know, diseases such as pigeon fever, eye sores, things like that.
Right.
And so you go through whatever is developing in your horses at the time, and you can show different cases. And then you're also going over tack, so students are learning to saddle, what each part of the saddle is, the cantle, the horn, the stirrups, and they're learning how to adjust that tack, apply it themselves, apply the cinch and do it properly, and the back cinch, and then the bridle, how to get a horse to lower his head and take that bit into his mouth, and how to do that all properly and get up.
Wow. What's the average age of your students?
I would say the average age of my students is typically 10 to 18.
Okay.
I do go as low as 8 years old.
Oh, nice.
And do you ever provide the horse for them?
I always provide the horses for them unless I'm doing private lessons. And those private lessons, those students can either choose to ride on one of my horses provided for them, or if they have their own, they can come in on their own horse.
Oh, okay.
About how many horses do you have?
So I have 15 horses, and 6 to 7 of those are all based on my lesson program.
Wow. Wow. And so tell our audience where you're located at.
I am located,
to give them an idea.
I'm located in Cottonwood, California. I am off of Balls Ferry. So there's Balls Ferry, Adobe, and Dry Bread Road. And so I am
Dry Bread?
Dry Bread, like no jam on toast.
I love it. That's a great name.
Thank you.
So what are all the various things you do that are horse related?
Oh, gosh. Anything and everything. We'll go gather cows. We'll go to sorting events, which is, again, more cows. We'll do timed events like Gymkhana.
Just Gymkhana. Uh-huh. Yep.
And then we'll just do, you know, fun events just in the arena where it's similar to Gymkhana style.
Do they still have Western Union? Is that what it's called? Or Western, where they – it's kind of like with the Gymkhana, but they – you know, they'll have them trot or they'll have them gallop or...
Here in Northern California, there's a lot of associations such as NorCal Riders and things like that. And there's lots of groups that get together, NorCal Sorters. And so depending on what discipline you're doing with your horses, whether you're doing English, Western, timed events,
right,
there's multiple different groups to get involved in.
Nice.
So tell us a little bit. So you have 15 horses.
I do.
And is there like one particular horse? This is your horse.
I have four particular upcoming horses that are my soul horses. I have a love of stallions. So I have four stallions of my own. Two quarter horse stallions that are coming into their four-year-old year. One paint stallion who's coming into his four-year-old year. And a Gypsy Vanner who is just coming into his three-year-old year.
So I know I've been around horses. You know, from a young age, I haven't been in a number of years, although our sister Cindy still has horses. Mm-hmm. They have different personalities, don't they?
They do. You have cold horses, you have hot horses, and you have horses that lie somewhere in between. And they can wake up on one side of the bed one day and the next the other.
That's right. That's a good way of explaining it.
That is really cool. And so, so what are some of the basics that you start off with? You explained it a little bit when teaching someone how to ride.
When teaching someone how to ride, I think the first thing that they need to know is how to just maneuver around the horse, how to approach a horse, how to come off friendly, easy. You want to talk to a horse when you're walking up to it. You want to let him know you're there. You want to have that horse give you some degree of eye contact to where they know where you're coming from. If you're walking behind a horse, you want to make sure you're talking so that they can hear you, and you want to be close behind a horse when you are walking behind them so that they can't kick out at you.
Ah, that's interesting. Close behind the horse.
Mm-hmm. In fact, yeah.
Now, do you – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just close behind the horse. That horse cannot get any leg momentum going. And if you were to get a little jab or a kick at you, it
right,
would be much less severe the closer you are.
Nice.
Now, do you take time to get to know the student themselves? Because I know matching them with the right horse is really important.
Absolutely. So that would be an introduction lesson. And an introduction lesson into riding would be a one-on-one 30-minute. And in that one-on-one 30 minutes is how
great
you would get placed into a group that fits you or the horse that's best suited for
you. Oh, nice.
Available.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is really cool. And so what style of horseback riding do you teach?
I solely teach Western riding. I do not dabble into the English world anymore.
Okay.
And so in Western riding, I focus a lot on the reined cow horse, sorting work, which would again be your cow work, and then also timed events.
Okay. Awesome. Well, listen, I enjoying getting to know you, but we're coming up on a break. And before we do that, we want to thank our other sponsor, Caliber Office Furniture. Diana.
Oh, yes, absolutely, Tim. Shasta Outdoors would like to thank our sponsor, Caliber Office Furniture. Now, if you're like my brother who works from home, it can be a challenge to make do with the space that he has available. So Caliber Office Furniture will make it easy for you as well as for my brother. All you have to
yeah,
do
absolutely
is go to CaliberOffice.com. That's CaliberOffice.com. Select work from home, and there you'll find a beautiful selection of desks, chairs, and accessories, and it's all on sale right now with free shipping directly to your home. Again, that's CaliberOffice.com. And thank you to Chris Cable and Caliber Office Furniture for sponsoring this program.
We are definitely very appreciative of that.
Absolutely.
Caliber Office called me, or no, texted me yesterday and invited me to join their team for a golf scramble next Friday.
So
I'm excited about that.
That's right.
Join in. I mean, apparently they don't want a winning team.
I was about to say,
but
do
at
they
least
know?
I get to go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so
Tim,
I am looking forward to that. Okay. Well, you are listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
And we'll be back with Abigail Heyman after these messages.
Guitar with a broken string. without you I'd be a falling star without a midnight sky. A cowboy with no horse to ride. I'd be driving in a dark nowhere.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Authority Property Management, committed to providing service-oriented solutions to owners and landlords, offering full-time management services which covers everything from screening tenants to rent collection to final walkthrough inspections when tenants move out. Authority Property Management oversees single-family homes, apartments, condominiums, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial properties. Rental pricing, available properties, and a quick and easy-to-fill-out application can be found online at authoritypm.com.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Jim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
Oh, man. We're halfway through the program, so I think I'm going to make it, Diane. I'm going to still have some voice left here.
I hope so.
I'm very grateful for that. The weather is getting warmer. I'm just kind of curious how it's going to be for all of our outdoor recreationists in the greater Redding area. Tyler, what's the weather forecast?
Well, right now it is 109 degrees outside. It's going to be low 75 tonight, so that's not too bad. 113 tomorrow in the afternoon, getting hotter. 77 at night, and 112 on Sunday with a low of 75 degrees. So it's not getting much better, folks.
No, that's just going to be a very hot weekend. You know, one of the things, at least this time of year, it's still fairly light early in the morning when the weather is cooler. So if you're going to go out there and do some hiking or kayaking or something along that line, just get out there at daybreak. And then about 10:30 when you come in, or 11:30, you can call Diane. She should be up at that time. She wakes up in the heat of the day.
I do.
You know? And so, hey, we have been talking with Abigail Heyman, and she's, is it correct, Abigail, to say you're an equestrian?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. And she, oh my goodness, I didn't realize she had so many horses. And do you have a name for your ranch?
Right now, our ranch is just the Heyman's Ranch. We have not actually tagged through a name, but we have a lot of different ideas in the works.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, let us know when you have that. Just let me know, and we definitely would love to help promote you and tell people about
Absolutely.
What you do.
Because there's not very many of you.
Right.
I think we're growing. I think it's hard for people to get started. I think it's hard for people to get everything all situated. And I think, too, sometimes, you know, kind of like what I did, you take whatever you have and you make it work for you.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's quite an investment. And during the break, Diane broke the rule and asked a question.
I did, because I'm going to. And I was asking Abigail about insurance, and I know that insurance can be a difficult thing, especially in California.
Which is definitely something that holds a lot of potential programs that want to offer horseback mm-hmm. riding lessons back, especially trail riding. It's really hard to insure someone to go out down the trail. So I have a small property, and so there's not really any trail riding that I can offer. But other people with larger acreage of property can do trail riding on their own property because their property would be covered in a lot of insurances.
Right.
I couldn't get an insurance company to cover me here in California. I have an insurance company through Oregon, and it took me a couple of years to finally get it all sorted out. I tried and tried, and it took a lot of talking to friends to figure out what to do.
Well, it just seems like the getting insurance for anything anymore is a difficult task.
It is.
And that just astounds me how that is happening. You know, choosing the right horse.
Yes.
I mean, how do you go about choosing the right horse? Somebody's out there, they're thinking, boy, I'd like to, you know, start riding. Maybe they did it when they were younger, like Diane, you know,
right.
decades ago. But
well, Tim, anyway, you would get a pony. You need a pony.
They want to get back into it. Yeah. How do you go about choosing the right horse?
I think the start of choosing a horse, I think now that I've learned a little more, the better route to go would be talking to local trainers and meeting different trainers and meeting horses of different disciplines. You might think you want to do jumping. You might want to do reining. There's a lot of different sports out there. So it's right. getting to know trainers and seeing what world you fit best into. Because at the end of the day, those are the people that you have to surround yourself with, which I love people in the Western industry, and
right.
they make me feel like family every time I'm around them.
Yeah. I love the Western style. I feel like Clint Eastwood in The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And I won't tell you which one I am. But there,
I love
it. Might be good reasons why I'm on the radio. But
well, you know, horses, they have such different personalities. In fact, we had a horse that if I got on it, if my dad got on him, prance around and be ready to just take off and just really get up and go. But if a little child got on him, he was just as gentle and
low-key
and just completely different horse.
Yeah. I think people underestimate the intelligence of horses.
Absolutely.
They do.
Yeah.
And they remember things going back a long way. I think even younger memories, foals with their moms out in the pasture, they remember a lot of different things that can shape the personalities that they begin to develop.
Yeah. So in some ways, I think the horse picks and the child or the student pick each other.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, until you're on that horse, until the child's on that horse, you don't really know, you know, whether or not they connect. But I think they really pick each other more than we do.
Right. I remember one time we were going to go look at a horse for you and for Cindy.
Yes.
And it was over in the Fresno area. And the guy was just talking about what a great horse it was for children.
Yeah.
And she got on the horse and started riding the horse, and the horse bucked her off.
Yep.
Yeah, and stepped on her. She broke a rib, a couple of ribs. It was
not
a fun experience.
No.
We did not get that horse.
No.
So, hey, you know, when it comes to what to wear when you're riding, what are the right things or the wrong things to wear?
Jeans or riding breeches, good boots that have a good heel on it. The better heel you have on your boots, the more stability you'll have from not having your foot slip through that stirrup. You
right.
don't want to be riding in the middle of your foot. You want to be riding more towards your toes.
Right.
And then in the summertime like this, a nice, very light, long sleeve t-shirt and a hat. A hat is very ideal. And there's helmets that have good brims on them, and that helps
right.
a lot as well.
Oh, nice.
And so now you've been involved in just some, I think, mainly like local competitions and different things like that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of my favorite events to go to locally would be the sorting and then the roping. And there's places you can go roping. All down in Red Bluff, there's multiple four or five different ranches that I frequent. And then up here in Cottonwood, there's the Bar W Ranch, which they're having a lot of sorting events. And there's other activities as well that they do, Western classes. And so depending on what you want to do, there's a lot of ranches that offer competition.
Nice.
So excuse me, so the sorting, is that like separating cows? Or
so
what
sorting,
is that?
You have two 60-foot round pens that you put together. And there's one panel missing where they join. 9, and you have 10 cows listed 0 to 9, the announcer will give you a cow number. You have to go in with your partner. One partner holds the gate. The next partner goes through and fishes that cow out of the 10 cows that are in the arena. And you push that one cow number through without getting any of the others. So
wow.
If you're
Woo.
Going for cow number 2, you're going to go cow 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way back through to 0.
Right.
And if you get a cow through that's out of the order, instant no time. And you have 60 seconds to sort the 10 cows.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. That sounds really difficult to
that
me.
That does.
So you got to be moving. You
are moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's your favorite competition?
That's one of my favorite local events to go to.
Interesting. What are some other competitions?
So then there's roping, and so you can go down to roping, and there's also gymkhana events, barrel events. I mean, depending on what you want to get into, I'd say the opportunities are pretty endless if you just look out and reach for what you want to do.
Right. So are different breeds of horses better for different events?
Absolutely. You know, the warm blood breeds are going to be great. You know, hunter jumper, dressage horses, English style horses especially. Your quarter horse, I would say all around, is your Western go-to. But you can also have paint horses, and they share a lot of the same bloodlines. A nice athletic horse, good build, not so long in the back. You know, you can just look at a nice square horse, and he's going to probably perform well for you. The draft horses are a little bit heavier, and they're not going to turn around and chase a cow as well.
Awesome. So, Abigail, we talked a little bit, I think it was yesterday on the phone, and I just was asking you about trail riding, because yes. It's one of the things when I go out on trails, I'm almost always hiking, but I see, you know, mountain bikers, and sometimes I see horseback riders.
Yeah.
And so, and I know you do some trail riding yourself.
I do.
And so what are some great places in the area to go trail riding?
Well, some of my favorite places to go trail riding, there is Clear Creek, and all along Clear Creek that's right off of 273, there is endless spots to pull off, park your trailer, and get your horse out and go down through those trails. Especially
nice.
Towards the top of Clear Creek, there is still really great shade from the trees, so that if you're going, you know, kind of midday, you can still get out there. Of course, mornings are a lot more preferred.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then down towards Red Bluff, there's Jelly's Ferry, which is a huge, no idea how many hundreds of acres there is to ride through there. You have Sacramento River access and beyond.
Right.
Do you ever take your students on trail rides? Do you ever have that opportunity?
Unfortunately, I do not. My insurance doesn't cover me to go out on trail rides, but there are lots of opportunities that students could lease horses and then get out there and do an event.
Oh, right.
Great.
But there are groups that do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's something that is available, I think. But sometimes it's just if you have a friend, you know, and somebody who also has a horse and to get out there. You ever go over to the coast and do any riding?
I haven't been in a long time, and gosh, that is one of the funnest things to do. A horse that has never been to the beach, that is one of the funnest experiences.
Oh, is that right?
They go nuts.
They think
they
those
love
waves
it.
Are going to come in and eat them up. It throws off the depth of perception, and they kind of wig out.
And that leads perfectly into my next question is, how do you prepare a horse for a trail ride, especially if they've spent lots of time, you know, in corrals and flat ground, and now they're getting out there, all of these other potential distractions, even squirrels running across the trail,
absolutely.
Trees and debris all that. How can you prepare a horse for something like that?
So when your horse is going through training, whether it's a well-seasoned horse or a green horse that's just learning his foundation, you're going to sensitize and desensitize every horse. A hotter horse is going to need a lot of desensitizing. A colder horse is going to need a lot of sensitizing. So sensitizing would be making that horse move off of a pressure or a force, whether that's your body, a flag, a pole, a ball that you have in your hand, you're going to get that horse to move his feet. Everything is about getting that horse to move around and control where those feet land. With your hotter horses, you're going to teach them to keep their feet in place and to not move. So you're going to get a flag out and you're going to, you know, take a whip and run it over their back lightly and gently. And you're going to teach that horse that he can just have that feeling go on him and just stand still. And when that horse stands still, you'll remove that pressure. And that's when he learns that standing still gives him the reward.
Wow, wow. A lot to it, but that is interesting. So there are ways you can prepare them then and before they go out on a trail ride, because I think it would be a huge mistake if a horse has never been out on a trail and never gone through the training process like what you're talking about to just all of a sudden take them out there.
I would say plastic bags, plastic bottles, you know, setting something like that up for your horse to practice with at home. I think those are some of the biggest things that tend to scare a horse. If you have neighbors that have livestock, riding or walking your horse past those neighbors that have that spooky, scary animal in their pasture will help if you ran into a deer or squirrel or rabbit on the trail.
Mm-hmm. Right. Nice. Hey, listen, we've got to take a break here. I'm enjoying this conversation with you, Abigail. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged sky, and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire and their hopes were made of steel.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
You know, that was my daughter Abigail and my daughter Rebecca, when they were little, they loved that song. They didn't understand the connotations to it.
I was just listening to it myself.
And so I would play it over and over for them in the truck as we were driving around. And one day, Mom was riding in the truck with us. And that song, I put that song on. Because I just thought it was so cute.
Right.
That when they get to that place of save a horse, ride a cowboy, they would just scream it out as loud as they could. And Mom just about fell over in the seat. Thinking that her little, sweet little granddaughters would sing such a thing.
Oh, but, my word. You know, the influence of their father.
I know, right? And so we're here with Abigail Heyman tonight. We've been talking about horseback riding, trail riding, and all the things that she does, and training horses, how to choose a horse. And it has been just a good time that I've been having with her tonight, other than the fact that my throat has not been doing all that well. But, hey, here we are. Hey, Abigail, I see people out there that are on the trail. Sometimes I can tell from where they're coming from, they're on a pretty lengthy ride. Mm-hmm. You know, how long can a horse go on a trail before they need food or water?
Well, that depends on the training that that horse has had, the breeding that goes into that horse. Arabians, there are a lot of endurance races, and those horses can easily do 50 milers in a day and upwards of to 100.
Wow.
And those horses along the trail will stop, and they will take breaks and eat grass and drink water from a creek, or there will be tubs along the trail that they can drink water from. But so they're eating and drinking as they go, but they'll get that big bulk meal when they get back home.
Right, right. So they have pretty good endurance then.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Do you make sure that they are well hydrated before they go out?
You do. And so before you go out, you can give your horse electrolytes, Redmond rock salts, and minerals, and make sure that he's good to go before he gets out there. And again, when he gets back home, you replenish those supplements and minerals.
Right. Ah, that's good stuff right there. And then, so what are some things to keep in mind when trail riding, like dangers and things along that line that people should be aware of?
I think you want to be aware of where you're going, making sure that you know the trail in and the trail out. It's not bad to have someone with you who's been down those trails beforehand so that you have a partner, someone who's not going to leave you on a trail, someone that no matter what pickle you manage to get in with you and your horse is going to make sure they pack you and your horse out of there.
That's right.
But again, just preparing and knowing the area, preparing the horse for that trail ride, knowing your horse, being able to maneuver your horse in an arena beforehand, yield his hindquarters, yield his forequarters, make him go forward at a walk, trot, and a lope, and be able to have that horse back up. Those simple foundation maneuvers in the arena will help you tremendously when you get in a pickle on the trail or at an event.
Some of the things that I think about when I'm out hiking, and I know that horses also use that particular trail, and I'm looking at the trees that are hanging over the trail, and I'm thinking, man, how are they getting around that or under that? Because it seems like if you're sitting on the horse, you're going to run right into that branch.
And so just knowing your trails too, knowing that that trail has been maintained or has clearance, or if you are packing a saddlebag with you, bring some clippers and, you know, trim a couple
Absolutely.
Of those branches. Branches back and make sure you can get through there on your horse.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is.
And then what about crossing creeks? I know some horses can be shy about that. How do you train them to get across
some
a creek?
Some horses are shy about crossing creeks and even dipping their toes into the tiniest little 3-inch wide puddle. And that would come back to at your barn preparing that horse and preparing that rider for what it takes to encourage that horse to get into the water. Mm-hmm. And once you teach them how to get in, especially you teach the rider to give that horse the confidence that I'm with you, you're going to be okay. The boogeyman, the alligator in the water is not coming to get you.
Right.
They learn to get in pretty easily. And also, too, different horses can handle different depth of water and different current speed. You might have a horse who it's going to take a lot of work at home and a lot of practice building up to go through some high current and deep water.
Right. Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, you see the old westerns and the cattle drive and they're going across this stream where the horses are swimming and the cows are swimming and they're, you
right.
know. And so that would take a special kind of horse, I would think.
It does.
Now, do you work with people in helping them to prepare for their horses like
I
that?
I do. So I have done training. I don't take on too many horses into my barn for training at a time. I max out at 2 horses at a time. But I will do problem solving and foundation training and beginner training on horses as well.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. That's awesome. So how much does your confidence or fear affect a horse?
Oh, tremendously. I think, especially in a young horse, he doesn't have the confidence or the understanding to know. So he relies almost entirely on his rider's confidence when he's getting started. And you giving him that confidence, like when your horse spooks or jumps, you know, if you tense up and get scared and squeeze your legs on that horse, it's going to make him more worried. You
right.
have to be able to sink down into that seat and let all the air in your lungs out, and touch that horse and let him know that everything's okay.
Right, right. Now, we asked you about this, and I was greatly disappointed to hear your answer, Abigail. You have never watched the program Heartland.
I'm so sorry, you guys.
You know,
no,
it is on Netflix.
I know, and it's accessible to me, I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll share my account with you if you don't have it.
I love it.
You know.
I do have one.
You can't help but you know, have some similarities here,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
with
yeah.
the character.
I know, I keep wanting to call her Amy.
I know, right?
And so, but it's interesting watching that program. And you don't have to be a horse lover or be into horses to enjoy the program. It's a great family program. It just so happens to take place on a horse ranch.
Right.
And so they share different kind of training things. But, boy, you've given us so much more detail than would learn by watching that program. We thought we learned a lot, huh, Fanny? My Peruvian queen is here.
And so much of it's so common sense, you know. I mean, whenever you suggest something, I'm like, well, that just makes so much sense, you know. Yeah. But yet people don't think of it.
And you know what? I feel like that's a way of a lot of things in life, you know.
Isn't it?
What's most obvious is never the right answer, is
right,
it, you know?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And so now there's that term horse whisperer out there. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but do you consider yourself a horse whisperer?
Oh, no, you know, I don't. I think there are many people out there who are very good at their horsemanship skills, very talented in reading the body language and understanding these horses and knowing from the way they're tensing or holding themselves or the way they're dropping their head and relaxing, blinking their eyes, what that horse is feeling and doing what they need to do based on the reactions out of that animal.
Right, right. And so there are individuals out there that do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's what I base all my training off of, is being able to connect and create a communication,
right,
a language between me and that animal, whether that's my voice getting raised louder or my body moving faster or slower.
Right.
And the way I come across is it's going to train that animal to do what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. And I think that the animal feels more secure in that when you
Absolutely.
Have confidence in what you're doing with them.
There's a saying that the horse knows what you know and they know what you don't. And I think that saying goes back to the horse knows when you understand how they're feeling and they know when you don't understand how they're feeling. And there's nothing that can make a horse more insecure than a person just not reading
not
their body language
them.
And understanding how they're feeling.
Right, right. Well,
absolutely.
Abigail, it has been amazing to have you on the program tonight. And it seems like this hour goes by so fast each time. But if people want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
One of the best ways to get a hold of me is through my email, which is haymansridingschool@gmail.com.
All right.
Can you spell Haymans for us?
Hayman. Haman. Like Haman or Ham-an.
That's great.
So haymansridingschool@gmail.com. Abigail, thank you so much for coming on here.
Yes, thank you.
I have
thank
been
you
wanting
guys
to
so
do
much
a
for
program.
Having me.
Yes, it was our pleasure, that's for sure. So thank you.
Yes.
So, Diane, what do we have going on this weekend?
Well, I don't have as much as you have. Why don't you tell me what's going on? I know where you're going.
I'm heading over to Trinidad.
Yeah.
Where you were this last weekend.
That's right. I left you a gift.
Oh, and I'm telling you, oh, my goodness. I don't know if I want to find that gift.
I know, right?
But I think it's a high of 61 degrees this weekend over in Trinidad.
Let me tell you, it rained in the mornings, and then it was clear and beautiful in the afternoons, and it was so nice. It would like, literally pour sometimes just in the early morning, and then it would clear up and just be beautiful the rest of the day. It was perfect. It would like cool it all off, and then it would just be gorgeous.
Looking forward to it. Gonna go do some hiking over there. Got a few trails.
Calamity, love it.
Calamity Jane is going with us. All of her puppies are on their way to finding new homes, and so we don't have them anymore.
Oh, nice.
And so this is going to be her first adventure out and about again, and so excited to bring her.
She's going to love the ocean.
Yeah. I think this is going to be her first time to see the ocean, so it's going to be interesting to see how she reacts to that.
I have a feeling she's going to love it.
Well, thank you, listener, for tuning in to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Diane Morgan.
We challenge you to get out there and enjoy God's wonderful creation. We promise it will do your soul well. Wandering out into this great unknown.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.